Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gareth Hall here. We kick off Giddy Up with the Monday Breakdown on this Monday, the 25th of March, with Mitchie Lewis, Mickey Gannon and Dean Watling. There was plenty to discuss, from Gabe Waterhouse's eighth golden slipper. It was Adrian Bott's second golden slipper. Blake Shin won his second slipper aboard Lady of Camelot. And then he finished, of course, second in a Hong Kong derby there yesterday. What did we make of Storm Boy? And then V8 success in the George Ryder as the three-year-olds continue to impress against the older horses this carnival. Riff Rocket's arrogant victory in the Rosehill Guineas. How good is Via's Histina, the former import galloper that was devastating in the Group 1 Randvet, is now a dominant favourite for the Queen Elizabeth. Well, William Hagger's stud did it again there with post-impressionist, doing what only William can by turning up in Sydney with the stayer. And post-impressionist was impressive in that Mannion Cup and is the horse to beat now in a Sydney Cup. Imperatrice won her 10th Group 1 in the William Reid Stakes there at Moonee Valley. What a mighty mare she is. We also discuss some of the features in South Australia. Climbing Star was some performance there for Philip Stokes. The WA features as well, as we get closer to their big carnival. So it was a big Monday breakdown, and we kick off proceedings by talking about the biggest race of all from the weekend, the Golden Slipper.
Into the straight, Shangri-La Express just in front of Straight Chart, going up the inside, Folly Lit and Storm Boy. Lady of Camelot behind them, three lengths away to Switzerland, and wide out Coleman running on. Storm Boy's got the run on the inside, Coleman wide out with Lady of Camelot. It's Coleman, Lady of Camelot, Coleman ahead in front to Lady of Camelot, Coleman, Lady of Camelot. The lady dives and Lady of Camelot got up. Lady of Camelot, a spectacular win in the Golden Slipper.
Beat Lady Coleman of Camelot winning the slipper. She was brave in a blue diamond when she was the run of the race, I thought, there at Caulfield. But then she headed back to Sydney. She trialled Hawkesbury, Mickey Gannon, and she was given a peach by Blake Shin. And she was too good in the end.
Yep, she was far too good. The market knew, so full credit to those out there who jumped on board there. She was very, very well backed. Interestingly enough, first, second, third, fourth, barriers 5, 4, 2, and 6.
Yep.
Some really, really big runs in behind there. Manal did what, Jason Collett did what we thought he'd do aboard Manal, and that's go back to the inside. And gee whiz, that horse, she was very, very good. Aniza was very good, but full credit to Waterhouse and Bott. It would have been probably a strange feeling for them to see Lady of Camelot get up, because we've seen on the socials they were, Gay was definitely in the Storm Boy camp. I'll tell you what caught us off guard as form analysts, G, is that Blue Diamond, those form lines really stood strong here.
And I thought the second horse, Coleman, looked like he was going to win it there for a second. He was mighty in defeat there, Mitchie Lewis. What did you make of the Victorian form there with the Blue Diamond? I think Lady of Camelot was the run of the race there in the Blue Diamond.
I think so in the end. And I guess from what we'd seen of her, she was the one that went back, and it probably benefited her in the most. Like, I'm looking at how far back she was in comparison to the others when we saw her lead in other races. So, yeah, run of the race for her. Great ride, Blake Shin. Coleman, I thought he was massive. For a second there, I thought he was just going to run away with it. So, I don't know. I know some – I don't know. It's hard to say what you'd think. I think Storm Boy, though, I had the odds up here before and I've accidentally closed him. He'll go on from here, do you reckon, Gannon or Dino?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll go to the size.
He needs to, because they need to get some value out of him.
He's a $3 favourite for the size coming up next over the 1,400 metres, and then he probably goes towards the Champagne, Dino. But I thought he lost no admirers. He was in trouble from the get-go after he missed the kick by a length and a half. And Ryan Moore pointed out that He's still learning, but he's got plenty of talent, and he'll be a better horse over a trip.
Yeah, he definitely will. I think it's hard. Like, he misses the kick, but then he's got no real gate speed. And you watch the overhead footage, and he's sort of bustled along. Ryan was throwing anything at him to try and get a position. Then he sort of ran up on heels. He was still good, I dare say, revealing the meeting back towards the inside. Those sort of 2 to 3 lanes were sort of inferior. So I still thought he was really good, but no match for the first two. And like you mentioned, if you're on Coleman, you're probably sick. And if you're on Lady Camelot in the Blue Diamond, you've probably jumped off, so you're even more sick on the weekend. But it was a great slip. I thought Manal back to the inside was really good. Traffic Ward, I think, really the top four come from the Blue Diamond. So like Gannon mentioned, we sort of underrated that a little bit, I think, leading into it. And Switzerland was probably the disappointing one, G-Man.
Yeah, he was off the bit from the get-go. It was a funny old funny old run from Switzerland. You never really wanted to, you never wanted to be on him. He was was the first to go for the persuader. And as James pointed out after the race, he needs the paddock. He was a horse. It was a tired horse. And it was a little bit like he had a similar preparation to Shinzo. And that makes Shinzo's victory last year's slip even more remarkable, because it's trying to do everything in their first preparation is difficult to do. And we're seeing Gay, that's the key to her success. And I think Blake Shin's right. He labelled her as the best 2-year-old trainer in the world, and she gets the formula, and she's hard on them, and she must go through a few 2-year-olds, but they're up nice and early. They have a couple of preparations in their first season, and she's been able to peak a few of these horses for a couple of grand finals, like a Lady of Camelot. And I thought Storm Boy didn't disgrace himself. So hats off to Gay. And going forward now, Mickey Gannon, I'll ask you this question, then I'll get the opinion from the lads. So for the size, you've got Storm Boy at 325. I think Lady of Camelot will go to the paddock.
You think so? She's got nothing to prove now.
But I think Coleman will stay around. But I'll put this to you. Is Traffic Warden a better bet at $7 with Bet365 than Storm Boy at 325 for a size produce stakes?
What price do you get Manal? Because Manal's a better bet than all of them.
$15.
There it is.
Yep.
There's your bet. 100%. Hey, just on the Waterhouse spot, sorry, before we go to the other boys, they nominated 100 horses for the Golden Slipper.
Yeah.
They've turned up with 6, nearly 7, potentially should have been 7. Like, it's just phenomenal. That's nearly a 6%, you know, strike rate of getting a horse into the race. Super, super stuff. Yeah. Dana?
Yeah, interesting. Traffic Warden was terrific. I think if Craig Williams maybe has a little bit more luck at sort of a 300 and gets to the outside rather than, getting back to the inside, I think he goes probably a lot closer to winning the race. So it's hard to say of Storm Boy. I'd suggest he had more improvement than Traffic Warden coming out of that run. Traffic Warden's been up for a while, 14 back to 12, now back to 14. But I would probably lean the way of Storm Boy. Just want to be a little bit forgiving on that sort of first part of the race and then back to the inside lanes as well. Mitchie?
Yeah, I'd be with Gano on Manal, and that's not to say that I'm not saying Storm Boy won't win. It's price related to do with betting into the futures. If I'm only getting 3 for Storm Boy, I'm better off just waiting until the day, really. But I can see Manal coming in. What's that, sorry, Matt?
You could back Manal the place and get better price, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and I'd imagine if it's sitting around between 11s or 13s or 15s now, it probably won't do that race day.
We've got a feature race winner in the Percy Sykes when it comes to future betting for the 2-year-olds. Hasn't even started yet. What price are we getting now, Dina Magalia? $17 with Bet365.
101 looks good now, G-Man.
No, not really. It's got to perform on Wednesday. What was the other horse you mentioned?
User Pin.
I think it's around $26 User Pin. Anyway, it's off the beaten track a little bit. Yeah, $26 with Bet365. So I'm looking forward to it. And the Champagne's going to be a great race as well at the back end of the carnival. You've got Storm Boy at $3, Linebacker at $5. It's very impressive there, Dino, for Johnny O'Shea. Coleman at $9, Espionage at $9. Lady of Camelot won't go there. Traffic Warden could be a bet there at $9 for a race like that. There's a lot to play out, but there's a few horses in that market that definitely won't be going towards the Champagne. 15 minutes past 8, 0499 736 736 to join our conversation. SEN Talk, the new way that you can talk to us. Go to the SEN app, click on Giddy Up with Gareth Hall, record your message. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a look at some of the other featured group ones there at Rose Hill on Saturday.
live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy up with Gareth Hall.
Last two carousels running on stoutly on the outside, and now Via Sestina waiting for the last crack at them, and here she comes. Via Sestina moved up on the outside of Plastica Saracel, then Think It Over and Buckaroo, but Via Sestina bringing the great European form here to Sydney, and she's too classy. Via Sestina won it by a length and a half. I think Plastique Carousel...
She was awesome in the Ramford Stakes over the 2,000 metres at Group 1 level. Formerly trained by George Bowie in the UK, she had terrific European form lines, as Darren Flindell pointed out in that race call. There was concerns maybe that she needed a wet track, but she showed a blistering turn of foot, Mickey Gadden. She was awesome. And when you have a look at the Queen Elizabeth Stakes market now, would you believe? She's at $2.40. And she is a short price favourite now over Mr. Brightside. Plastique Carousel is at $10 and Pride of Jenny's at $10. Think It Over at $10. But she, dare I say it, she won like Fangirl, who won like Winx a couple of weeks ago before she was defeated. But that was impressive, Mickey G.
Yeah, it was super impressive, G. But, you know, a couple of takeaways from the race. Like, they weren't that slow that you could let them up.
Correct. But that was expected.
It was expected.
Nash,
I think
went
we're
too
talking
slow. You reckon Nash did?
No, I don't necessarily think Nash went too slow. I think he's it's the right ride. I'm just not sure if there was an issue with the horse.
Okay,
I think
yeah,
there was a bit of a comment at the end that he said suggested that the horse wasn't that great going to the gate, so there might have been an issue, and he might have got to a point now where he needed I don't know exactly what he said, but I think he was suggesting along the lines of space the runs out or something along those lines. Dino might know more, but they went something like 18 lengths slower than class benchmark, so Group 1 time. Probably expected to be about like 5 or 6 or even 8 lengths slower, I guess, with a small field, but I just don't know what you do with this race. Like, so Via Sestina was ultra impressive, super, super, but the Queen Elizabeth won't be like that, and look, she could be better. I guess we'll find out.
I think that's the scary part, that she'll be better. Yeah. And I think J-Mac said that after the race, that she'll be better off a fast tempo.
She could, yeah. And she could be, for sure. So, no knock. I don't know what you do with the race moving forward, but Via Sestina was ultra impressive, Dino.
Yeah, it was. And the issue, like you mentioned, Gunno, is that the price looking at Queen Elizabeth, it's already factored in that she's going to be a star off a fast tempo. Do we know that? Probably she is, but is there any price moving forward? No, looking at the run, it was terrific. And I think the market knew the market. $2 surge, she started. So it was all over before it even started.
$2.
That was the big note I took out of it. So she obviously has travelled well. That's the yard people and the guys with the figures overseas are chiming in. But she was outstanding. Beautiful action. And hopefully she can set a little bit closer, obviously, in a Queen Elizabeth. Bigger field, obviously. But, she was terrific. Second horse was good. Oh, Buckaroo was pretty good, Mitchie. Back to the inside there. Probably the inferior ground as well.
Yeah, definitely the inferior ground. I thought the inside was a little bit poor for the day, so I'd be interested if we got to a genuinely wetter track, if that might improve him a length or two. But I think we mentioned it on here a few times, Gareth, that it's really important with these imports when they're first up to watch the market, because, yeah, if you were watching the market on her, you sort of had an inkling that she was probably ready, because all these other form guys that know her better than some of us hop on pretty quick. And usually it's the reverse as well. If they start to drift, you want to get off as quick as you can.
Well, you could have been listening to Giddy Up and the weekend preview. I think we're all over this
horse. I'll tell you what, if you listen to Winners, one of the biggest pushes G Hall's ever given. And G, you were in good form, G, on Saturday. Wow-wee.
Well, there's a couple of stories there from Saturday. There's like, you can get a little bit lucky by finding, like, you know, finding a few winners, but I went back and had a look at the replay of the weekend preview staking plan. And I did find that horse that I love there in Melbourne. I thought, well, it's the greatest bet of all time for the Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. Stable there at Moonee Valley on a Saturday afternoon at about $14 in the feature fillies race there. And she got out to about Vibrant Sun, about $13. And I thought, geez, I'll be well in front now with our staking plan. And I've gone, yeah, I'll just have $50. This is the difference between tipping and punting. $50 on Vibrant Sun, all up into Tom Kitten the place. And Tom Kitten's been officially banned for good. I saw your frustration on social media, and we'll get to Tom Kitten in just a moment. But let's relive the George Ryder at Group 1 level there on Saturday, where V8 was successful for the McAvoys.
Together with NCAP, V8 revving up now, and V8 takes the lead at the 100 from Lady Laguna running on. It's V8 and Lady Laguna, V8, Lady Laguna, V8, vroom, V8 won the George Ryder narrowly from Lady Laguna, and Militarized got going for third.
He was at his best, Darren Flindell, on the weekend, I thought there. That was a great call with V8 taking out the George Ryder. Well done to the McAvoys. Calvin and Tony have done a wonderful job with him. He's been in every big fight this preparation. And I thought maybe he's just going to be one of those horses that finishes second and third and just doesn't quite get a group one. But the George Ryder was perfect for him. Weight for age, 1,500 metres. I think 1,400 and 1,500 is his wheelhouse. That's his pet distance. And I need to apologise on behalf of myself for the three-year-olds. I've been bagging these three-year-olds saying they're no good. Last week, Cylinder was dominant, or a few weeks ago, to win a Newmarket handicap. And then V8 was too strong to take out the George Ryder. And the other three-year-olds, I thought, performed quite well in that race as well. Militarize was third. And NCAP wasn't far away there, Dino.
Yeah, I'll be bagging him as well. Two handicap wins in the last 2 weeks, carrying the sort of lighter weights. He was a great ride by Damien Lane. I think the ride won the race aboard V8 and got in perfect position. They've gone pretty hard here, sort of to the 600-metre mark, and it sort of made it a little bit hard. They've gone hard for the back markers to get into the race, so he was in the perfect position. But like you mentioned, this horse has been up for a while. They've tried a couple of different things, and I think that's what you get out of it when you're running good races. You figure out where your horse is best suited, and I dare say 1,500 metres is as far as it gets if you want to win a race with him. Now, Lady Laguna, she was terrific. She's been up a long time as well. Militarize, good late. Like I mentioned, that fast tempo probably took a little bit out of him. And Golden Mile, Gak, what do we do with him? Tongue tie went on and he looked a different horse. So maybe he's a horse that has a little bit of a throat issue.
He's a bit like you. I don't know if he's got a throat issue. I think he's just a
like you.
Yeah, I think he's, yeah. I think he's a horse that when you have a look at his record, when James changes his headgear up, he seems to find a few lengths. I think he might play a few tricks from time to time. He's a bit like you, Dino, like after watching your social media over the weekend, I thought Friday night you're on song and then Saturday night you probably needed the blinkers and the tongue tie. I won't get to any of the FaceTimes that you were delivering there on Friday, I think. I might get to them a little later, mind you. I've got some dirt on you from Timmy Wilson from First Light Racing. Mitchy Lewis, you've been a big fan of V8 for so long.
Yep, at least it paid off, G-Man. So I just thought he'd threatened. You're probably right. 1,500 metres is right in his wheelhouse. The ride was key. I thought the map was key for him. Some of those other horses, like Lady Laguna and Militarize, I thought we're always going to find a bit more trouble, which might just mean he gets an easier sort of blessing there, and I thought it played out very nicely for V8, so glad I stuck fat, Gano.
Yeah, Lady Laguna's performance was enormous. V8 was fantastic, and right place, right time, V8, Ian McAvoy and Dean Lane, and yeah, nothing worse than a missed call from Dean Watling at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Lady Laguna, what a horse she is. Like, 1,500 metres, she's doing that. It's quite
phenomenal stuff.
And I don't know who Chris Waller's racing manager is, but I think they pulled the wrong rein with Militarize. I think he would have been a better chance in a Rose Hill Guineas than a George Ryder.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he lacked. He just. It was a great run.
But it was a run that suggested, like last time, that he sort of wanted further. That's what we sort of spoke about on Wednesday. Obviously, he won the race at the Guineas as well. But I agree with you, G-Man. I think he would have been much better suited in a 2,000 metre contest.
You're a racing manager to the stars these days, Mickey Gannon. What would you advise Chris Waller with Militarize?
I'm not advising Chris Waller or anything, mate. He's too good for me.
If Mitch Beard trained Militarize and he asked you which way you would go after analysing the data and all the...
Yeah, I would have gone to the Guineas G for sure. Yeah. Hey, just on that, like Lady Laguna, if Lady Laguna draws a gate, that group one's hers. So, like, just phenomenal stuff from that horse. It's preparation.
We're going to touch on Think About It. Like, hats off to Joe Pryor and the Connections for having a crack trying to get to a Doncaster. But is it a situation where it's probably a little bit too late now in the preparation where you go, oh, maybe we got this wrong? Or do you think that he was given a tough ride there on Saturday and his task was just too much there, second up, stepping up to the 1,500 metres?
Well, they knew what they had in front of them and they knew what they were going to do. So it's being planned out and they're aware of the wide gate when they weren't there. And I'm pretty sure the tactics came out on Saturday morning that were going to go forward, Dino. Is that right? Did you see those tactics came out? So...
Yeah, pretty sure.
So they knew what they had in front of them in a group run race over 1,500 metres with a big field. They weren't going to go slow. So it was all there in front of them, G.
So do you think that he's a middle distance horse, Mickey?
I think he showed what he showed there.
Can he win a Doncaster
on Saturday? He can be competitive. Can he win a Doncaster with, 57.5 kilos? I'd say probably not, but probably need to draw a gate and need everything to go his way. He's a high-quality racehorse. I would prefer to see him aimed at the sprint distances, though, Dino.
Yeah, it's interesting. It all comes down to price. I mean, he's probably priced off his Everest win in the last couple of starts. Will the market adjust next start? It probably will. So will there be a betting opportunity? Maybe. I thought he was fine. He sort of had the wide gate. It was an all right ride by St. Cliff. And I think he goes back. There's probably no hope on that speed. So he's only been two lengths. Had a little setback this week as well, gate 17. It all comes down to price and gate for me. Mitchy, any opinion?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he probably could win at the 1600 if the conditions suited. So say he had the inside back, say he was drawn where V8 was and didn't have to worry about that and perhaps didn't have a little issue during the week. Does it change anything? You know, it's a little bit hard to tell, but...
Definitely does.
Yeah.
Definitely does.
At his best, if he turned out better conditions, better setup in a 1600-metre Doncaster, perhaps he could.
What we learned, D-Lane wouldn't be a great racing manager. He was basically indicating to the McAvoys, I wouldn't be going to the George Ryder. Lucky he gave it a peach. It was D-Lane at his best. Because I know D-Lane loves this show. Celestial Legends, the $4.50 favourite for the Doncaster Mile. Oban Burumai is the horse for mine. He's at $7.50, the Japanese star. If anyone on his figures, if he runs like he did in the... If he runs Golden like Eagle. He did in the Golden Eagle, like, how are they going to beat him? Is that good enough?
What weight's he got, G?
He has got, he's not top weight. I think it's around 56 kilos, but bear with me.
Very, very hard to beat. The key to him is whether the rain stays away. They looked at the long range forecast. Doesn't appear to be any rain. So very, very hard to beat.
Dino?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I've been against these three-year-olds and they've won back-to-back handicaps in the last 2 weeks. So could this be the third of the handicaps that they take out? Potentially, I think that Golden Eagle form always stacks up. How he travels out and how he looks is another sort of question. But
he looks a million dollars. D-Lane riding and he gets 55. I tell you
55.
What, I don't want to tell anyone, gamble responsibly, but I think I'd put, gamble responsibly.
He's up and about. You've had a few good good results this weekend and you are up.
Not really.
He's got the pennies to spend.
No, I haven't. Oban Burumai, $7.50, and another wheel who needs to win to get into this race. He's at $9 there, Mitchy Lewis.
Yeah, they'd be the two that I'm looking at. I guess the other one that catches my eye looking at this market, geez, what about Southport Tycoon? Is that...
He won't get 1,600 metres.
Hey,
last start. I'm only stirring, as I said, he
could stay. Gee, I believe that another wheel might struggle to get into the Doncaster Prelude.
Oh.
Yeah. So, hold on tight.
Yeah, all right. Then. I wouldn't back him. I wouldn't back him until he gets into that Doncaster Prelude, but...
He might be balloted it out.
But you know what? It's like he'd be one of the favourites if he'd probably win the Doncaster Prelude, but that's handicap racing. Like they probably needed to plan out a little bit better, but sometimes the horse doesn't come around quick enough, so that's just racing, unfortunately. There is a fine line. So and prior to Jenny's going to the Australian Cup. So that was a look there at the George Ryder. We'll take a break. We'll come back and analyse the other two group ones there on the day in Sydney, plus the William Reid Stakes as well. So we'll have a look at the Rosehill Guineas, the feature sprint race on the card there, the Galaxy at Rosehill, and we'll also take a look at and chat about Imperatory's victory in the William Reid Stakes at the Valley.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy up with Gareth Hall.
down the outside. Immediacy and Caffara. They move up at the 300 and Caffara put the head in front. Now, where are the chasers? Tom Kitten on the inside. Riff Rocket on the outside. It's Lightning now. Here comes Riff Rocket charging down the outside, and Riff Rocket will win the Rose Hill Guineas. Chaowulf second. Caffara clung on for third. Then Immediacy, Gambari and Tom Kitten every hope.
Couple of storylines there. I thought, geez, Nash, what are you doing with Riff Rocket? But Nash knew what he was doing there, Dino. It was an arrogant victory from the back of the field. I was thinking of you, Mickey Gadden, at the 200-metre mark. I said, well, you pulled this one off at 50-1. Cap for A, it finished third. And all I could think about is Joe Pride telling me last time I had a chat to him saying, Gareth, Sia Wolf is the second best horse in my stable and it'll be winning the Derby. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know about that, Joe. I should have backed it 50-1. It was enormous, Mickey G.
Oh, it was super. Riff Rocket was just, you know, a class above. Seawolf was enormous, and Cat Farrar, Ryan Moore, great ride, really great ride. But yeah, Riff Rocket, Chris Waller, Nashawilla, too good, Jano.
Yeah, fascinating. They decided not to geld Seawolf, so I think might even be a better horse when we get to the Spring Carnival. They might even look at doing that, but he was terrific. Riff Rocket, what we learned out of it, Mitchy Lewis is a freak, he backed it again, but second up, if they do have that flat run after a good first start run, third and fourth ups when we jump on, I probably should listen to myself and Tom Kitten, Gareth, never ever again for me.
But what was the tempo like there? Like it looked like
slow
it was
enough.
It was start, and it was like,
it was a sit and sprint pretty much.
I don't know if that suits my old mate Tommy Kitten, but I don't know, Mitchy Lewis.
And I mean, I'm just having a look at where he was. I mean, and he was stuck to the inside too. I think I've mentioned, I didn't think the inside played all that well. I think there's only two winners.
Now, you didn't want to be winners there, the jockey said.
So, I mean, Riff Rocket, like I said, he did this last prep, flat second up, huge third and fourth up. So, last I checked, he was about 250 into the Derby. I'm probably not backing him now. If I'm getting that race day, I'm reasonably happy with that, I'd say, because, I thought he was a class standout there.
You can't bet into this market because you've got Riff Rocket 275. Orchestral hasn't been confirmed if she goes down that path yet. She's at $5. Tom Kitten at $5.50. Sia Wolf at $9. Immediacy, that wasn't too bad, at $13. Cap for $8, $15. Apulia at $26. And the rest can't win. I don't think Sardozi's at $26. I think she's going to the Oaks.
Do you think if Sardozi comes out and goes really well, beats Orchestral, does Orchestral avoid Sardozi, or does, like, what's the play there, Jay?
I think Sardozi's sticking to the Oaks, regardless if Orchestral turns up or not.
But what about Orchestral? If Orchestral gets done by Sardozi, does she go to the Derby?
I don't think she will, no.
So you're probably better off taking Riff Rocket now, because if she's the second fave and she's not going to make the race, what's he going to start race day?
When I was in New Zealand, they were only going to give her one run, basically, and that was in the Vinery over the 1,600 metres. So the Vinery's before the Oaks, isn't it? It is.
Yep. So isn't the Vinery this weekend?
Yeah, so if she doesn't perform well in the Vinery, then she might be sent home. But they reckon she's a Cox Plate, and Cox Plate horse. And don't forget, these Kiwis have had big campaigns before they've arrived here. And I think Prowess only had the one start in the Vinery before being sent back home.
So, Jay Max on Orchestral, Tommy Marquand on Sardozi.
Yeah. I don't think that's been confirmed, because they don't know where they're going just yet.
Why Nash was on Riff Rocket?
Yeah. Well, I think James just got stuffed around a little bit with Militarized. I think he was booked for Tom Kitten, Riff Rocket and Militarize, and then Militarize was in that Rose Hill Guineas and then went to the George Ryder. So, all right, then. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a look at the sprint features on the weekend.
Live across Australia on SEN Track, Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
Three wide, Sunshine in Paris, three back the fence, they straighten up, and Front Page goes for home. Front Page, two in front, to Asfura, Uncommon James, then Zapateo, Sunshine in Paris, back to the inside, 150 to go, Front Page is kicking well, Front Page a length in front of Asfura, Zapateo's launching on the outside, Sunshine in Paris late, Zapateo wide out, hits the lead front, Sunshine in Paris, Zapateo won the Galaxy. Zapateo just won it from Sunshine in Paris, and the front runner, front front page.
Sapateo for James Cummings and Kerry McAvoy. Geez, I copped a little bit of abuse saying James let us into AFCAB and Gareth on Saturday, but on Thursday's Giddy Up Stable Mail. But if you actually listen to James, the last couple of times I've interviewed him, and they've been before Zapateo's raced, he was bullish about her chances there at Randwick two starts back when she ran a big race to finish second behind Passive Aggressive in the challenge. And he gave her a bit of a push along with AFCAB there on Saturday, and she pays, what, she's 40 into $26. Well done to Jules Valance, who joined me on a Friday morning on Giddy Up. He tipped Zapateo and Chain of Lightning there at at Rose Hill on Saturday. But what'd you make of the Galaxy there, Dino? Zapateo defeating Sunshine in Paris, it was mighty in defeat. And Front Page, what a horse he is. He looked the winner at the furlong, and he finished third just in front of as Fuhrer, Uncommon James, and Passive Aggressive.
Yeah, it was a fascinating race, pre-race. One of the best races you'll ever dissect. A lot to come out of obviously Osmosis. Reed at the start, Rachel King nearly fell off, so total forgive for it. A couple of poor performances, App Cabin was a little bit iffy, but Zapateo was terrific. Sunshine in Paris, back as you're probably a little bit sick, back towards the inferior inside ground. Didn't really have any option from gate two, but she was terrific. And like you mentioned, Front Page, he's a dynamite Group 1 horse, fresh over that sort of 11,000-metre trip. So he was great. But, Gareth, what a race. Yeah. Outstanding race.
Concern going forward, like Budes Notches hasn't turned up, Private Eye hasn't turned up this preparation as either, Mickey. Mm. Yeah.
Up CG, a couple of horses that haven't lived up to expectation. You mentioned a couple of those there. I thought Passive Aggressive, Uncommon James, didn't probably run up to their best, but full credit, Matty Dale, Tyler Sheeler, Front Page. That was a really, really good effort. Zapateo was great. It's gone huge, run up to her last start. And Sunshine in Paris, just in the inferior ground, G, I think, is the horse that you must follow from this race, Mitchie.
Yeah, I think it's hard not to miss Sunshine in Paris, fastest last 600 of the meeting, last 200 of the meeting in the inferior ground and further back than you wanted to be. So you think you'll follow her where she goes. And I guess from another point of view, I thought Asfura was really good, Gareth. I didn't expect she'd be able to sort of do that. And she was almost there, I thought, at one stage. But that was a good run from her. She might bounce back in something somewhere along the line.
I think.
Hey, any update on Ryan Maloney?
No, he's okay. I think he just got dehydrated, went to hospital trying to get down to that weight. With
not making a joke of this, but like the horse must have been going that good because he's tried that hard to get to the weight.
That was the best tip in itself.
Yeah.
And we were like, everyone thought he was a million to one to get to that weight because he never rides at that weight. He never really rides at 55, let alone 53 and a half. But we're thinking of Ryan. He had to go to hospital. He checked himself into hospital.
Good.
She went mighty. I'm trying to find out from Robbie Archibald whether she goes to the TJ Smith. I don't know if you could back her in.
I did hear that post-race that they thought that, that could be the go. Yeah. That'd be very interesting. The horse is flying. She was in contention for an Everest last year.
Yeah, she was. She's very good. Annabelle Neesham's team's flying. Her big guns anyway at the moment. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a chat about Imperatory's victory there in the William Reid Stakes at the Valley.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
From Miami, and Imperatrice, the outside, moves up swiftly. Imperatrice goes to the front from Johnny Rocker. Ryan Me, hypothetical. Imperatrice, 100 to go. Johnny Rocker bravely giving her a race, but it's the Kiwi Wonder. 10 group ones. Imperatrice from Johnny Rocker, Ryan Me, Bella Nipotina. The Inferno.
So she's done it again. She did what she needed to do there, Mitchie Lewis. That was her 10th group one. There's a couple of takeaways here. You could say, that's a 10th group one and she's a mighty galloper and I can't wait to see her in the TJ Smith and she deserves to be favourite for a race like that, despite her heading up to Sydney. Or you could go, I don't know if she's at her best here. She might be a few lengths off her best that we saw in the spring, because how the hell can Johnny Rocker get that close? Or Johnny Rocker just run out of his skin to finish second there in a William Reid Stakes there, Mitchie. How did you assess this year's William Reid?
Yeah, it's an interesting race, and I guess she showed that sort of adaptability that she's got. She didn't lead like we've seen her do at the Valley before. So it's a little bit tough to analyse. I'm probably leaning towards the fact that I don't think I'd be with her in the TJ. I know that they've said for a long time that they think she's a few lengths better running this way. And I think as good as she is, she's a couple lengths off where she needs to be. So it'd be interesting. I'll have to see the setup, but I'm probably against her. And I mean, I don't think she's beaten a stack in this field. So it's a little bit hard exactly what to see. I think for the value you're getting in the TJ, like someone like Sunshine in Paris, I'd prefer to be with, can I?
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards Sunshine in Paris, but gee, she was good, you know. Johnny Rocker, that's what grazed me up a little bit. Gee, the horse has got enormous, had a big run in it. There it was. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of the race, but full credit to Imperatrix. She's done it again, Dino.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We speak on a Thursday and gate 10, I thought it was going to be a big negative. And then the way the truck run the weekend, it's a perfect gate for her to chime into the race. The inside lanes are sort of a little bit cast, so she just blended in beautifully. 10 group ones, what can you say? She's the best sprinter we have currently. Is she going to win a TJ? It all comes down to price and the setup for me. But looking at SP in the last couple of starts, I dare say she'd start probably a similar price. And if she was that G-man, I'd probably be against her and look for something else.
Yeah, I thought her performance was pretty good under the circumstances. She was in season, they told us there on race day. So she probably had excuses not to be at her best, but she still won. She heads to Sydney now. This is her greatest test, many say. She's at $3. Private Eye is still the second favourite. I don't know how, at $5. I Wish I Win. We don't know. Who knows what's he's up? How well he's going?
If he goes there and he's up to it,
yeah,
I think he's the one.
He's at $5.50. Sunshine in Paris at $9. Cylinder, well, he was back to his old, like, he just didn't turn up there on Saturday. He finished last. He was in probably the wrong part of the track from that inside gate. Aft Cabin at 17. Then it drops away, doesn't it? Bella Nipotina, 17. Espiona at $17. Horse like Osmosis.
I thought Bella Nipotina was very disappointing, G.
Yeah, she was a bit flat, wasn't she? Like, I thought that people thought that Johnny Allen was caught napping a little bit when he didn't take off in front of Imperatrix, but whether he is, I don't think he was going well enough to do that.
Not sure if Johnny had his best day on Saturday.
No, we might discuss that. Do you want to go through our horses to follow? I want to touch on a few South Australian horses as well, Mitchy, and we've got a few questions from our listeners, 0499 736 736. And Johnny Allen, he figures quite prominently with a few of those questions.
So I'll give you some horses to follow here. I'll go to Rose Hill, Kingston Charm, Long Jeans.
Yes, go. Can you got to go, Mickey?
No, I'll hang on for all five right. more minutes, G. Right, Kingston Charm.
I'll take Long the Jeans. News. I'll take the news, and then we'll come back. 9 o'clock.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
Welcome back to Giddy Up. Gareth Hall with you, Mickey Gatter, Mitchy Lewis, Dean Watling for the Monday Breakdown. I'm a huge fan of Dino's. I love a dollar for every time he says that's fascinating. Cheers from Steve from Christchurch. You got a fan there from Christchurch, Dino. Sydney Quaddy thanks to Julian Valance. God bless him. And yes, I did run into Phil up. A lent here, Mickey Gadden, generally sucks. Hate that horse. Costs me so much all the time. Anywhere know what Sunshine in Paris main aims are this prep? I think it's TJ. I don't know if she does go to the All Age. I try to get in contact with the Neesham camp. No communication back just yet. Boys, Tom Kitten is living up to his name. Now an elite milk drinker. That's from Mongo Matt. So, Dano, you've completely barred him?
Oh, yeah, I say that now. But, yeah, and he wouldn't win next start because I'm jumping off. So, if you like him, I reckon stick one more run because I won't be on and you'll win for sure.
I'll save one of these for you, Mickey Gannon. Johnny Allen on SpyWire, the worst I've ever seen. Please discuss.
Yeah. I think if you could have scripted a way not to win the race and do everything possible not to win the race, it was exactly what you saw.
Like, I thought that the stable
mate... I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I thought the stable mate would be hard to beat, but I thought he would sit on the back of SpyWire and SpyWire would
Well, the horse jumped so well.
And then he strangles
it. And I get
it.
You want to take take a bit of a sit, 1,200 metres, but it's the Moody Valley. It's a soft 1,200, you know, smaller field, just lead.
He did more damage by choking him down than bringing him back underneath
100%.
Him. And he sort of 100%. Jumped that well. And he looked around and he waited for the stablemate to muster to get, like, it just didn't make sense.
I just can't go any further with it. It breaks my heart.
I'm looking forward to hearing what Johnny.
I just want to leave it to Johnny. I don't want to say too much. I just want to let Johnny come off a long run up and we'll just sit back
and he was declaring Spywire too from that Monday onwards.
So was I.
It was fascinating to watch. Well done, Gareth. Great winner. That's why it's your show and all these lads are your apprentices. That's a very good point you make.
Who set that in? No way someone set that in.
Yeah, they did, actually. I won't reveal their numbers because they've got to put their name to it.
Probably Dave Watley.
Yeah, I had $14 the place for Traffic Warden and felt sick seeing it run fourth. That's from Cooper. That's tough. Switzerland blew up. Do you think it would have made a difference if James McDonald was riding Storm Boy on the weekend?
What about Hippo?
Hippo, I don't know.
I think it would have made a. I think it would have made a slight difference. No knock on Ryan Moore, but I think it might have helped a little bit. But I don't think you could take any away from the winner and the runner up.
So you thought Hippo would have won on Storm Boy?
Well, that's not what I said at all, G.
Okay.
Cut that one up.
Yeah, we'll cut that one up.
cut it up because what I said is he would have made a difference.
So he missed the kick slightly. He doesn't miss it that bad, does he, usually, Storm Boy? He misses it, but
He missed it worse this time around. I think he went to the inferior ground. He probably got, I'm not sure if Ryan, knew what he had underneath him to a point of how quickly, once he got into him, he was right behind heels. Here's what it is, G. That's horse racing.
I tell you the most impressive victory of the weekend, and Brett Baker is a shareholder of this horse, and he joined us on Winners on Saturday. Climbing Star, Mitchie Lewis. Horses to follow out Adelaide for us?
Yeah, so it's hard to see. I don't know what they would do with Climbing Star. It's obviously not hard. It's hard to miss that horse. She smoked him, but the horse that comes second, Party Princess, is never suited over the 1,200. She'll be extend into the carnival over 14 and 1,600 metres. I think that's a horse you can follow. He was all over it.
Yeah, he must have been talking to Bakes midweek. No, I'm only joking.
Bakes calls me. Full disclosure.
She'll go to that Group 1 mares race, won't she? Climbing Star in Adelaide.
How old is she? So she's going to the Sangster.
Yeah, she'll go to the Sangster.
Sangster, sure.
So is Charmstone, and I think the Sangster's going to be a pretty handy race.
Mickey, well done. The great tip off. Your service has been on fire. Go the great tip off. Type in your name and away you go. Ching ching.
Thanks, G. Appreciate it.
Any horses to follow?
Yep. Kingston Charm, Long Jeans out of the Midway. Mitchie's Midway. Will now be known as. there's another couple here, Jay, as I just roll through here. The Novelist and Midnight Opal. I thought they were fantastic in race four. There's two horses you can follow there. Plenty of others, but they're the four. Dino?
Yep, two for me, Sunshine in Paris and Swartz. I think they'll be winning next start, Mitchie.
Yeah, I've got two at Rose Hill. I'm with Gano, the Novelist. Hard to miss there in inferior ground. Sunshine in Paris is the obvious. I think she's a massive chance in the TJ. And then out of the Valley, I think Campionessa was stiff. I'd like to see Campionessa back on a bigger track and over some more distance.
She goes to Randwick. She'll go to Randwick. Yep,
that'll work out fine.
What race is that, G?
I was just reading it just before. She will be going maybe to a Vinery, I think.
On Saturday.
Not a Vinery, sorry. Bear with me. Keep going, mate, and I'll come back to you.
The Vibrant Sun, after the race, they said they were going to take her potentially to the Adelaide Oaks. I think that would be a good race for her because I haven't heard many others push that way yet, and I think she's got some good talent, Vibrant Sun.
All right, then. She was very impressive, wasn't she, Mitchie Lewis?
Yeah. We both found her G-man, but you just staked her a little bit better than I did.
No, you were sensational. That was a funny old race, the Alistair Clark, wasn't it?
Oh, I tell you what, I thought I was home.
Which one?
On Grinzinger Bell.
Oh, yes. Yes, I thought you were home too. Now, I'm just having a look. Bear with me. I apologise here. So, Michael Gurin from the New Zealand Herald, he said that Opie Bossom will be going to ride. he'll be going to ride Campanessa, and it'll be on the final day of the carnival, so wherever that is at. Or Kestrel looks like she'll be going to the Oaks as well.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
Good,
so
DJ, you, good information.
You say you can follow Campanessa, the Queen of the Turf, is the race I'm looking for. That's where she's going. Just quickly, what'd you make of William Haggis's horse, Post Impressionist? It might back up this week in the Tancred. Would you back it in a Tancred?
Yeah, I'd back it everywhere it goes.
Yep, back that stable. I think they're 9 from 18 when they bring me out to Australia. Fast tempo, ate it up. So as long as there's good tempo, I would be backing it.
It's unusual for them to back them up, though, G. That's probably the question. And I know Nick Williams said, oh, we'll back it up, but I don't think it's up to Nick.
No, it's up to Lloyd. Yeah.
Even William. Yeah, probably has a last
I think but... Lloyd tells everyone like how to train. I think Lloyd's the boss.
Lloyd's like the G Hall.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. Gareth, no doubt you'd have been, had the chest out at Bar Bambi on Saturday. I can't get into Bar Bambi. Mitchy Beer, good on you, Mitchy. Hey, guys, will the steward step in from an OH&S perspective with someone like Ryan Maloney trying to make a weight? We all knew it was impossible if he rode, and no, it's extreme, but he passed out. What else? That doesn't matter. Like if he passed out mid-race, if he did turn up, yeah.
I do think they have a duty of care in those sort of scenarios to be aware of what's going on and definitely check it out. I'm sure they have.
I've got to follow this up. And before I talk of I've heard some disturbing stories about jockeys and how they actually are losing weight.
Not ice baths.
Something a lot worse than that. I'll follow that up, but I'm no jockey. And it must be really difficult to do what they have to do. But, they need to look after each other. And Ryan Maloney, he that's an opportunity to ride a Group 1 winner. And he doesn't get that many opportunities, Ryan. And he tried his best. But he checked himself into the hospital. He looked after himself. And let's hope he comes back bigger and better than ever. Boy, it's been a lot of fun. Holy Enchantment was a horse to follow as well from the Pinjarra Cup. He'll be winning next start.
Congratulations, G.
He'll be winning in the Southwest
Cup. Congratulations.
So well done, SJ Miller. And there's a couple of
horses. You've had a big weekend.
Wild Bell looks like it's going to get its book itself into a quokka. So I don't know if it'll be beating any.
How is the quokka field coming about? Is it looking? Is it filling out, or is it just a?
Do you know what? I had this debate with someone
Amelia's
there
Jewel
yesterday. Right. So does this race excite you, the quokka? Amelia's Jewel at $4, Overpass $5, King of Sparta $6, and then Oscar's Fortune, Ripcord, As Furo's Not Going, Bunnis Not Just. There's a few horses like in the market that probably won't be going. Bella Nipotina, she probably won't be competitive after what we've seen so far this campaign. Doesn't excite you, the quokka?
Doesn't excite me now, but it'll excite me at 7 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon on the 20th of April. Ooh, that's for sure.
Yeah. We might head over there.
Sounds good.
Whenever Amelia's Jewel's in a race, I'm excited, Mitchy.
Yeah, that's what I was just having a look at now in the field. You probably need a couple serious contenders, don't you, to sort of fire it right up. But I'm sure the closer it gets, the more we'll hear, the more excited we'll get, G-Man.
Yeah, 100%.
I think the key to the race, G, is you've got to overpass a horse that's going to go handlebars down versus Amelia's Jewel that's going to be back in the pack again. And I think that's a really exciting piece. You saw that with Pride of Journey and Mr. Brightside. That's great racing.
And if, I don't know, there's a few horses that have been disappointing so far in Sydney, I don't know if Bunnis Notches would come, but they might, we might freshen him up and see if we can get
Might be an easy option.
So what about a horse like Osmosis? Definitely won't come, but like a Sepateo, would you be giving James a call saying
100% off that?
Like a horse like that. And you know what?
You keep Sepateo and you'd send AF Cabin the way they're going.
Yeah. So there's a few options there. I reckon there's a better chance getting one of these Eastern State horses now to a quokka, because you have a look at the TJ Smith. The TJ Smith's ordinary, to be honest. It's a two-horse race in a way. It's Imperatrice taking on I Wish I Win.
Yeah, and Sunshine in Paris is some chance.
Sunshine in Paris, yes.
Was there many slots, Gareth, in the quokka, though? Last I thought they said was there only three unconfirmed ones left?
Well, I'll chase that up. They can change their mind.
Yeah,
okay.
We should have
zig and zag.
We should have purchased one. The giddy up. Monday breakdown team with your money, Dino, with all the money that you've got these days. Like, did you find love, Dino? Because you were FaceTiming me with a jockey. And I didn't know, like, is it love or not these days, Dino?
It's lust, not love, Jim.
Oh, there you go. All right, then. Anyway, it's always a pleasure, lads. We will let you go. And we'll catch up with you on Thursday. Dino, I've just thrown you right under the bus there.
Yeah, you're right. Dino's got a couple of hiding on this all the way.
Look how red his face has gone. We'll catch up with you later, lads.
Bye for now.
See you, lads.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
That's the Monday Breakdown team. We'll take a break. We'll come back with plenty more here on Giddy Up.